When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Charmed and don't give me that look.
I'm so sorry. What the fuck was that?
That's how I intro my podcast.
I never listen to your podcast.
We're off to a great start. Charmed and welcome back to Let Me Ruin Your Life with me, Serena Shahidi. Today we're joined by a very special guest who is giggling up a storm. What's your name?
Tess.
We're here with my best friend, Tess. Let me explain. Okay, so this is going to be a bit of a New Year's episode, and I originally tried to record this by myself, and these past few days I have been actively downward spiraling.
You've been delicate.
I've been delicate, to say the least. I've been a delicate little flower. Blown away by the breeze. And the breeze?
More like dried. The breeze is life. Dried under a book and flat.
Well, we're not talking about my body. I've been having a rough time. I got bangs. It's bad.
I have bangs.
Yeah, and it's bad. It's bad for you, too. So I just kept trying to record the podcast. And I don't want to complain about recording podcasts because I love it. It's very fun. But it is also something that's very hard to do if you're in sort of a crisis that requires getting bangs, if you catch my drift. So Tess and I spoke on the phone earlier while I was struggling to record, and I decided it would be a good idea to just do this episode with her. And I know a lot of you have been missing episodes with my bestie Tess, so she's back. And better than ever, 2023.
That's a word for it.
It's a phrase, yeah. Tess, would you like to introduce yourself for the people who aren't Tess Tickles, as we call your fans?
That's actually what they call themselves, but sure.
They self-identify, yeah.
They self-identify. My name is Tess. I am in my early 20s. I have been for a few years and will be for a few more years.
For several more years.
For several more years, at least. I'm a fashion designer. I studied knitwear at FIT. And I am a silly goose, but I am free.
Oh, wow. That's gorgeous.
Thank you.
So it's New Year's. Well, technically, when we're recording this, and this episode will be late, I'm sorry, I got bangs, what is there to say? Currently, it's another holiday, January 6th, so we're celebrating. this is the first episode of 2023, and honestly, 2023 knew me.
yeah, so far, I've seen a new... You're in jeans right now. Sorry to expose you.
I am in jeans. New me, back and worse than ever.
With jeans and bangs.
With jeans and a bang. I'm turning into you, and I'm turning into my mother.
See, I'm doing the opposite. I've been like dressing like a little woman recently.
A little woman.
Like not like the prairie people, but like a young.
You kind of are dressed like the prairie people right now.
I am in like paisley and high waisted in a paisley silk blouse.
Maybe I don't.
Maybe I wasn't
paying attention during the movie.
It's like, more Brady Bunch than Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah, you're wearing cowboy boots. I think maybe I got a little confused. So, how was your New Year's 2023, baby?
You know, I've had better. It was fine. I think Barcelona, like, doing New Year's in New York.
You're in Barcelona?
Oh, I was in Barcelona.
You were in Barcelona.
I was in Barcelona. I just got back this morning.
You were in Barcelona.
I was in Barcelona.
Yeah, you were in Barcelona.
I just got back this morning. I also don't party that much New Year's. It's like amateur night. Like, I just see all these people going out and getting wasted, and they're people who, like, never usually get wasted. And that's not fun, you know?
You want to hang out with the people who are always getting wasted.
Right, because they can handle themselves on New Year's.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want a seasoned alcoholic, like, on New Year's. I don't want, like, your coworker who's letting loose with three kids who's letting loose for the first time in 5 years.
Oh, yeah, you gotta, like, walk her out.
Yeah, no, amateur night. But, I don't know, New Year's has never been a big thing for me. I think the whole resolution stuff and having this whole idea, like, it's a new year, like, nothing's gonna change from one day. Like, that's...
I need it. Don't say that, because I need hope.
I think that you can work towards resolutions. I don't think it's going to happen in one day, queen.
You don't think it's going to happen for me?
No,
true or false?
I think it is going to happen for you. I don't know what it is we're talking about, but it is going to happen for you.
It. You think the movie It is going to happen to me.
The movie It is going to happen
to you. And I'm the one in the sewer. I did go to clown camp.
Do your fans not know about Bozo?
It was not Bozo. Bozo was a famous clown. It's like you know nothing about clowns. My clown name was Yo-Yo.
Your clown Sona.
Yes. What about Barcelona in general? What was fun? What was not fun? I've never been, but I have seen the Cheetah Girls.
I did not see the Cheetah Girl. Like, I saw the Cheetah Girls, but not in Barcelona. You know, I didn't...
Right.
I didn't bump in. Very pretty city. But I went on, like, some of the Jewish tours where it was just kind of showed, like, all of the Jewish tombstones that got, like, desecrated then turned into church buildings. Because the Jewish quarter used to be the Gothic quarter.
Wait, like, Catholic church?
Yeah. Not a Jewish church.
I didn't know. Also, you know more about religions than I, like, you know more about Christianity than I do.
That's tea. But, like, you also don't know... Most people know more about Christianity than you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know some things.
Give
me a trivia question.
Who was Jesus' dad?
God.
T.
Dilf. Give me another trivia question.
Who was the first Jew?
Oh. Oh, God, I know this so... Hold on. Who are there, like, famous people? Oh, my God. Because there was, like, Muhammad, not him.
No, way before. Think 2,000 years
Abraham?
Before. Yes.
Yay! Wait, that wasn't a Christian question. Was it? Is that the Bible?
Yeah.
Work.
You know that Jews are mentioned in the Bible, right?
I haven't read it. I haven't, like, control F searched it.
Okay, well, that's our Bible trivia portion.
Yeah, we planned that.
We planned
that for hours. Mm-hmm. So Barcelona, depressing,
like, yeah,
tours.
I guess depressing. I don't know. I thought it was camp. I went to the doctor.
Can we clarify that you're Jewish?
Oh, I'm so Jewish.
Jesus, like, Christ.
I forget. I'm aggressively Jewish. And we also went to the Dolly Museum. Can I talk about Dolly on this podcast or no?
Yeah. By the way, when she said Dolly Museum, I was like, Dollywood, baby, yes.
Okay.
And then I realized it was Barcelona, and it's Dali.
Yes.
The clock boy.
Yes. You know, famous clock boy, Salvador Dali. Okay, so first of all, the museum's like an hour and a half out of Barcelona, like by car. So we had a tour guide who was taking us. And
what, did he drive you?
Yeah. And on the drive there.
In, like, his van?
Yeah.
This wasn't a tour guide. Tess. Who was this?
Some guy, like, ask Gila, that's my mother, ask her, I don't... Okay, basically, he goes on by starting about Dali uses all these different symbols in his work. You know, surrealism and everything, like, means a lot of stuff. So he's like...
Me at an art museum, All of this means a lot of stuff.
So
did you guys know?
He's like, oh, see this crutch over here that he's in? So Dolly was impotent. And that's how this hour and a half conversation of him just talking starts off.
About how he was impotent? Does that inspire his work?
So Dolly, was married, but he was more into watching. Everything I'm saying right now, I am verbatim repeating from my tour guide that I had with my mother.
I believe you. He drove you there in a van.
So Dolly, was married to his wife, but he was a cuck.
Well, that doesn't make him a cuck, because...
Can I finish?
I'm sorry. I was standing up for the cucks.
Cuck representation.
You know I'm very defensive of them.
Right. He definitely was gay. It wasn't a thing that was popular, but he was gay. He couldn't get it up for women. He would put excrement in his hair and so he would have a smell.
Ooh, why that smell?
Because he wanted it to be strong. he got a strong smell. I don't know. I'm not him. But then he goes on how Dolly used to spoons were a big symbolism in Dalian art. He's a lot because it represented his penis that didn't work, but also the cum that he would drink.
Oh,
because he had a special spoon for it. So listen.
Was it a caviar spoon where it can't be metal or something?
Yeah, it's not like a caviar bump. It's. I don't know. I don't have one. I don't deal with artsy men like that. You know, I try to avoid the, artists. They're crazy.
Yeah.
And what was the other one he showed? He would have a bunch of boxes, empty boxes coming out of bodies.
What does that mean?
I think it was something to do with It's something with his dick. That's all I remember. I was just so blindsided by this whole thing. It's every time I say, I liked Dolly before this. I was a fan.
And now you love him.
No, I hate him now. He was a fraud. This is my version of a Picasso. This is my version of a Chagall. I'm okay, cool. You're doing other people's stuff.
But isn't that good artists?
Good artists, bad artists copy, good artists steal.
No, I think it's good artists copy. Oh.
But, yeah, I'm just not... I used to like Dolly. I don't anymore. There were so many paintings with spoons and liquids and ball sacks and buttholes. Fully everywhere. Anywhere you looked, ball sack. And that is what I took from my trip in Barcelona.
Okay. Did you, party at all?
I was with my mom. They have weed clubs there, so I went to some weed clubs. I just smoked weed. You can't smoke outside. You can only smoke in the clubs, or else you get arrested.
I think cigarettes should work that way. Cause why? Okay, why can't you smoke inside an IHOP?
We live in a really corrupt system.
Yes,
and unfortunately, some things that happen when you have such a corrupt government is that you cannot smoke an IHOP anymore.
Ugh. It's a sick, sick world we live in.
Can't even smoke in an IHOP anymore.
Well, I spent my New Year's in North Carolina, baby. That's right. And I went to, a club. New Year's Eve.
That looked, kind of lit.
Yeah, I sent you a video. I was why is it better than New York clubs?
New York clubs are horrible.
New York clubs are horrible because you know what? First of all, bad crowds. Because of the way word spreads a lot of promoter culture, but also bad crowds in general because of the way word spreads about what the cool spots are at the moment. So spots get ruined very, very fast. And also, there's no room. Everywhere else, there's so much room to party.
Yeah, no, it's New York clubs. I think we were clubbing a little bit at the same time. I kind of got, we got over it at the same
time.
Yeah,
we met, because we met, I must have been 18, 19.
And I was 20.
Yeah. And you still are.
And I still am.
But we would go to those clubs, and it was when you're young, really young, getting free drinks is so like, cool. Oh, you would go to the all the circles of hell to get a free vodka soda. And now it's like, I'll spend $15 on a cocktail so I don't have to talk to those people.
Every time I look at my phone, and you know when you see like the memories, like photo memories, I'll get it from like 4 years ago of you just making out with some random guy in the club, that like me just taking a picture.
First of all, you get it from 4 weeks ago too.
Yeah, I get a lot of them. I'm gonna publish a book one of these days.
A coffee table book of just me kissing.
Yeah. Casanova.
And some of them, I mean, you know, some of those pictures
it just
are
says
like
kiss of death.
Yeah, some of those are blackmail with the. Than then I've...
Oh, my blackmail book is going to be... That's whole other thing. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but, like, what am I going to ask you for? Like, what can I blackmail you for? That's the thing. Like,
I have nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you want from me?
Like, to leave me alone.
You would hate that.
You would hate that.
You would hate that. Wow. We would hate that, and we would love it. Back to the club. What do I have to say?
You had room to party.
Yeah, there's room to party in places that aren't New York. There's, like, nowhere to dance here. If you want to dance, it's like...
It's like anchovies.
It's an environment where people's breath is making it humid. It's disgusting. But I will say, the club in North Carolina, we had to pay to get in. And it wasn't like they thought we were men or something. It was like everybody had to pay to get in.
Like, how much was it to get in?
I mean, $10.
Okay.
But still, yeah, but it's the crazy. Principle.
Yeah, it is the principle.
I feel like that doesn't really happen. For what that happened, like, when I was underage and had, like, a bad fake ID, you would slip them a 20 when you're handing them.
But when you get older and you know people, like, I feel like you and me will only go out at this point as if we know somebody and they're having something and then we don't have to wait online. Like, we just go in.
Yeah, but... Have you ever gone to a club just on a random night and they've been like, give us $10?
I've been to, like, there's been, like, music events, like, and it's, like, $10 to get in.
A concert ticket?
Not concert ticket, but, like, there's, like, live music at a bar or something. Like,
oh,
this band putting on a show here, like, and it's...
Yeah.
Like, not a concert, but... I don't know. I also don't like going out to drink that much. I'm not a big drinker. I don't like... So even going to a club and getting all this free alcohol, I don't want it. I'm just there with bad music, sober, and uncomfortable shoes, and Grumpykins grump.
Ugh. Well, the thing is, we're both on, like, psych meds. So it's not like... I can drink.
Yeah, but not like that.
But I don't need somebody to buy me 8 shots. I can have a few cocktails.
Yeah, I can't have more than
3
The
last time I went to a club, I walked in there. I was, like, with friends I work with, and I walked in there dead sober, and it was a club and not a fun one. I walked in there dead sober. They got a bottle of vodka. For the first time in my life, I pounded vodka shots. Disgusting. But, I mean, I was standing there sober for, like, 10 minutes, and I was like, not to tell the kids that you need to drink to have fun, but if you go to a club like that...
You do.
You need to drink to have fun. Because it's such an unfortunate situation.
That's insane. No.
Can we talk about how Andy Cohen wasn't allowed to drink on CNN?
I know why. Do you remember last year with Anderson Cooper and Andy Cohen? They got lit at New Year's. It was the... funniest thing in the
world.
Yes,
and Andy Cohen was like, oh, don't you like food in the bedroom? Give us another year of that. And I didn't even watch it.
Oh, I did.
But I liked knowing that it was out there and I saw the clips.
I think that that's homophobic of them.
I agree.
I think that was homophobic.
Let gay silver foxes drink. What do you think that says about society? That Andy Cohen isn't allowed to get blackout drunk on CNN anymore.
That it's anti-Semitic and homophobic.
Is he Jewish? Oh, Cohen.
Yes.
Ding, ding, ding.
Famously Jewish, famously gay. And Jews, like the Torah says, you have to drink, like, on certain occasions. But,
agreed.
Like, so literally what they're doing, you know, they say the Jews control the media. No, they don't. Andy Cohen was sober this New Year.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry, we don't.
Oh, my God. I think recently, like, this past year or two, we've gotten a lot more prudish about drinking. And I'm like, we've established neither of us are huge drinkers. But it's, once again.
Yeah. I was going to say, last time I drank, and this was like really drank, like to get drunk. It was like the night before I went to Barcelona. I had 3 like margaritas. I was wasted and I woke up drunk the next morning.
God damn. I remember us going out for tacos and we got a pitcher of margaritas between us and our other friend. So a pitcher between the 3 of us, you had a drink and a half and you go, I'm like the amount, you start a sentence with the words, I'm like the amount of drunk. And we go, you're an amount of drunk? What's the matter with you?
So much.
You were drinking like straight lime juice, being like, hey, let's party.
Oh my God, I like my vibe. Yeah, no, literally.
But don't you think we've gotten more prudish about drinking? Because I know you don't have TikTok, and please don't get it, never change. But I open the TikTok app, and I see a million videos of people being like, alcohol is the devil. Like, this is the new thing, is people drink, like, Bella Hadid's whatever, like, Juvederm elixir. I don't know what it is. Kombucha, mineral, magnesium, revitalize. I don't know. They drink, like, these fake cocktail things, which is great. And it's great to be sober. And alcohol, in general, is bad. Okay, kids? All right. I'm saying it. Okay? Don't be mad at me. But this whole culture of, like, alcohol is the worst thing and they're using it to control the masses, it's giving dare. It's giving dare.
It is. It is dare.
It's giving abstinence-only education.
That's crazy. I think... Also, isn't TikTok, from my knowledge, my minimal knowledge, like, the algorithm very specified to you? Like, isn't that how
okay,
it works?
Okay, yes. But also, there are a lot of random things you get.
And it's a lot of, it's like, alcohol is the devil, alcohol. Is it like religious undertone type stuff?
No, but it's prudish.
Got it.
It's very like people who are very much like productivity, bettering myself. This, boo, ba ba ba.
I think that, like, why don't people just learn how to, like, know their limits? Like, I know my limit. And that's why it's good to have friends like you who make it, like, really not fun when I go past my limit.
Oh, yeah, because then I have to pull you up. You're, like, in pleasers.
Yeah.
It's not fun for me. It's not fun.
But, you know, generally I know my limit is 3 drinks. I guess not anymore. I recently, when we start talking about resolutions...
And your limit is...
1.
Your limit is a seltzer and some melted ice.
Yeah, literally just get me, like, a...
Let's make our own PSA... for children about alcohol.
Don't do it.
That's it. Our newest DARE officer, Tess Bernstein.
Yeah, don't.
Here's
do
what
it.
I would say. Drinking is fun, but it can also be bad. Get help if you need it. That's my PSA.
I like my, like, you know how Nike's whole thing is just do it? So, like, I know, like, the Nike just do it thing. This is just, don't do it. That's what I
think. I think everybody has tried that in schools. What was your, because you went to school in New York, what was your, like, learning about drugs and alcohol?
So, it's kind of funny, because I, you know, when people ask me about where I went to school, I just generally answer with here and there. So, when I was... you know, going around schools and stuff, I kind of missed those, there was, like, overlap of when they were teaching about drugs and stuff. But it was pretty, I never got, my sex ed was, like, buying condoms. They were, like, go, your assignment is to buy condoms and put it on a cucumber. And me, I was, like, well, I'm a girl. Like, shouldn't he have this stuff? Shouldn't he know how to do it? Like,
wait, I thought that was made up by television. Like,
no.
You put it on a cucumber?
No, and I did. Oh. And I did it. And I did it wrong. And I broke it. I'm like, okay, this is why men...
You chopped up the cucumber.
Yeah, literally. I bit it.
Yeah, girl. Yeah. I know you. You de-seeded it.
I literally just scooped out the inside.
That's crazy. Because I, you know, grew up in the South. I got that... abstinent, that good abstinence only education, girly.
You are abstinent.
That's true.
It worked.
It worked.
It worked.
It's been working for almost a year. But I got that, and they would tell us, like, you know, condoms sometimes work. We didn't learn how to put them on. We weren't encouraged to use them because it was just, like, don't have sex. They were, like, multiple times throughout, like, middle school or probably not high school. I think it was maybe too late at that point. Multiple times, we would have, like, a little quiz after our abstinence talk, honey, and it would be, there would always be a question that's like, what's the best way to prevent pregnancy and STDs from sex? And the correct answer would be abstinence. And every time I was such a pain in the ass, I would bring it up to the teacher and be like, if you're asking what the best way is to prevent these during sex, like, doesn't that imply that sex is already happening? What happens if sex is happening? And like, they never had an answer. Also, the drug talk, oh my God, we learned, I think also multiple times, about some young man who was recruited for some, like maybe the, oh my God, I was gonna say NASA. No, a sports, like he was recruited for a, like, what do they call it? Like a sports league. Yeah, NASA.
Why are you asking me what they call a sport ball league?
I just almost said NASA.
That's closer than what I would have called
it. The blind leading the blind out here. But to celebrate, he did cocaine for the first time, and he died.
I remember having a speech. Yeah, yeah.
But that the problem with that, okay, if any health teachers are listening, or I guess they can't help it. I mean, maybe don't, like, teach health at a public school in the South. I think that's, like, you're kind of participating in evil there. But the thing about that is kids are going to hear that and be like, okay, if I try cocaine once, I'll die. And then they're going to try cocaine once and be like, okay, I woke up the next morning. Now I'm over that hump. Now there's nothing that can go wrong. Teach them about, like, fentanyl testing.
Harm reduction.
Harm reduction. Anyway,
I'm so curious at your school, like, the guest speakers that they would have, like, come in. I bet, because, like, I definitely had some weird ones, but I bet yours take the cake.
Girl, I once took a class, I registered for classes too late. I had to take a class called Lessons from Vietnam, which was taught by this, like, very much this Republican, and I was like, you know, call me controversial, I'm anti-war.
Wow, so controversial.
I don't love war. That's just not who I am. Also, there was one assignment where we had to interview a veteran and ask them about their war experiences. I didn't know any. My, like, great uncle, he, like, I don't know what he did. He was, like, the, like, gardener of the to the Shah or something like that. And I tried to, I don't know. It was, I think, something actually in the Iranian military. But I don't really know what it was, but he didn't want to be interviewed. And I was like, well, that's really the only veteran I know. So I just made shit up. And I made it very anti-war. I was like, I regret joining the military. Me writing on Microsoft Word. But they would have guest speakers in that class that were Vietnam War veterans, all very conservative. And they would come in there, teach us nothing, and just talk about, sometimes in detail, how much they wanted to kill Jane Fonda. I swear to God.
Hanoi Jane.
Anyway, back to New Year's. I have a few New Year's resolutions, which I don't usually make, but I made them for the sake of this podcast. Do you have a few?
I do, but I am intrigued to hear what yours are.
Okay. I wrote them down. My first one, because I read an article, I believe on CNN, even though I should boycott them for what they did to Andy Cohen, I read an article about how people are making a lot of financial resolutions. So I thought, you know what? Let's get into it. I'm going to make a financial resolution. My financial goal, resolution, whatever you want to call it, I want to figure out how to mail packages. Because I don't know, first and foremost, very Gen Z, young, fresh, hip.
I'm so sorry. How is that financial?
Okay, let me explain. Because I make online purchases. I receive them. They don't fit me. I keep them. Because I don't know how to mail a package.
Can I, like, in two sentences, quickly explain it?
Okay. Everybody listen up. This is really important.
Okay. So, before you go and mail a package, here's what you need. Your item that you're going to mail okay. back. And the address you're going to mail it to.
Okay.
You go to the post office. You go up to the window. Or to the kiosk. You put your package, it gets weighed, you type in the address,
okay, it prints it out. Okay, no, you skipped a bunch of steps.
What a bunch of steps? You go...
Oh, wait, so the address comes after you get to the post office.
You should have the... Yeah, you go to the post office, you put the address...
You don't write it with your hand?
You could, but I just put it... When you put it in the thing, it prints out the sticker with the postage in it, too.
Wow.
And then you don't have to, like, get stamps or anything. Like, it's all there. You paid for it, and you just have the sticker and just put it on. Or you just bring it to the person at the desk. And you're like, oh, I need to send this to this address. And they do it, and you pay for it, and that's it.
I think maybe I'm stupid. Perhaps.
I think something happened to you at, like, in a post office or something. Like, you.
I agree. I've told you before about my, like, phobia of post office.
Yeah, offices. You're scared. Office I.
My next resolution, I'm going to start replying to texts in less than 2 weeks.
Oh, so maybe you'll text me back.
Maybe. Maybe. No guarantees.
No promises.
A few weeks ago, somebody sent me a text that was like, I just want to let you know, I'm so glad you're in my life. You're... The face test just made said, who sent you that? It was like, I'm so glad you're in my life. And you're my friend. The world needs you. I replied 2 days later. I feel horrible about it. But it is funny. My next resolution, I want to write stuff down on paper more. Because, okay, first of all, I have really lovely, stunning, gorgeous handwriting. And I think, you know, I should... Have it more out, because if I die, the legacy I leave behind, I don't want it to just be tweets. I want to leave, you know, some paper behind.
Calligraphy.
With my stunning handwriting on it. Yes, exactly. And also, you know, it's so hard to get things organized when everything is online and everything is like on your notes app and screenshotted and all that. But if you keep a journal to see something else, you flip the page. Not a lot of people know that.
I'm the opposite. I have, like, a million journals, and I write stuff down in, like, each of them. And then I forget where I wrote stuff down, so it just
Oh, I've been good. I used to do that when I was younger. I've been good at keeping one.
I can't have loose papers.
Yeah, because you eat it. Stop.
I know, right?
You can't have paste either.
It's just so yummy-licious. No, but I can't have loose papers. I end up everywhere. I'm, like, a messy artist. Oh, girl, it's horrible. Like, half illiterate. I think that, like, so growing up, I always was really good at calligraphy, but had horrible handwriting, which doesn't
make
sense.
Why did you know that you were good at calligraphy growing up?
Because I had, it was, like, one of my niche interests. I, like, literally would only...
So you were, like, checking out calligraphy books from the library.
Right, but I also had my pens, my quills, my quills, my fountain.
You're literally my father.
I am your father. No, I had my...
Star Wars. He said that.
You're like so... You're such a nerd. I can't believe you know.
I know. I'm a geeky girl.
You're just...
People think that sexy girl couldn't be into Star Wars, but I'm so into it. Anyway, what are your resolutions, if I may ask?
So I touched a little bit on the, you know... Just send the email, just do it, versus my dare, yeah. Or my advice to the kids on drinking, you know, the opposite of don't do it, I'm gonna do it, you know, not drinking,
yeah,
but sending emails.
That's important. Sometimes you just do it, and sometimes you don't do it.
Yeah, exactly. So I need to just do it.
Sometimes you gotta roll the dice, just do it or don't do it.
It always ends up on don't do it.
Give me another resolution. What else are you aiming for?
I don't like New Year's resolutions. I think that it's one of those things that we make ourselves think, like, oh, what didn't I do last year that I need to do this year, versus just thinking of stuff that you should be working on with yourself all the time. You know, there's always something to work on. Nobody's perfect, except for you. But nobody.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm glad you noticed.
Yeah, famously.
Well, I don't know if I like goals. As my life has proven time and time again. I don't believe, ever since I convinced myself that free will doesn't exist.
Wait, sorry. When was this?
About 3 weeks ago.
Okay, can you enlighten me?
Well, I just think that, you know, we're all acting on factors like our background and all the pieces of information that we're consuming day to day and that we learned as a child, and even like our genetics and what's going on in our lives right now. And it's not like that's just what informs our decisions and what we believe.
That's so true, bestie.
You're saying you don't believe that?
No, I do. I think that it's one of those things with more than one answer. I think we could go into a whole philosophical discussion.
You know what the right answer is? Abstinence.
It always is.
It always is. If you're asking God for an answer, honey, listen, I'm God. Abstinence.
Put an aspirin between your knees. Like, that's...
Put an aspirin between your knees?
Yeah.
What Southern grandmother taught you that?
My mom.
Your mother? Really?
Yeah, she grew up in Jackson, Mississippi.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She's like sipping sweet tea going, bless her heart. She doesn't know how to keep an aspirin between her knees. She couldn't keep an aspirin between her knees if she had a migraine, honey.
That was literally my mom at my bat mitzvah.
Okay, we don't have time to get into that. But we are going to do some New Year's 2023 ins and outs, which I did last year for New Year's.
2023 last year. I'm sorry.
Yeah, how dare you? I did that last year, talked about my little ins and outs, my sort of trend predictions, or what I'm trying to become trends in the next year. But today I have a guest, so we're going to sort of switch off between us. I'm going to start with my first in. Maybe I'll add a sound effect there, like in. We'll see if I can figure out how to do a sound effect. In. Invalidating emotions. We were talking about this on the phone earlier because I was telling you about all my delusions and you were saying you're crazy. And I said, you know what, queen? Thank you very much. I needed to hear that because when you're in therapy and all that and when you're listening to all these people who are like, your emotions are valid, your feelings are valid. It's like, okay, so when I feel like, you know, I'm about to die because I have an email to send, apparently that's valid.
No, it's not. It's absolutely not valid.
You need to hear that you're crazy.
100%. And I'll have that with my inner dialogue sometimes, like if I'm spiraling too much and I just kind of be like, Tess, you're being like a crazy bitch, like calm down. It's fine, like, you know. Nothing matters anyway. And just give myself a little existential crisis and calm down.
Right.
Yeah, but I think more people should... People's emotions aren't always valid. Like, they're irrational.
Yeah. I don't like how we're acting like every emotion is rational. Sure, it's not, like, morally wrong to feel any emotion, but sometimes it's like, that makes no sense and you should know it.
Yeah.
And knock it off.
Yeah, stop. You're, like, causing yourself more stress than you need to. It's annoying.
Yes. And you're crazy. Your turn.
So I'm going to start with an out.
Out.
Outer space.
Over it.
I'm so over.
I don't know what you're going to say, but I agree right away.
I am so over outer space. So here's my thing. I started having issues and really stopped caring.
Is this about outer space or about you?
Okay. It's about outer space. When Neil deGrasse Tyson said Pluto wasn't a planet. And that is when it started going downhill.
Very, because you were like rooting for the underdog.
I was.
That little one.
Yeah, I like the little one. I'm sorry.
You picking a man.
I like that little one. He's kind of scrappy.
I like that pathetic one.
I like that pathetic one. I think I could fix him.
Yeah, you're literally like, I could fix Pluto.
I could.
And honey, I could fix Uranus. Okay, continue.
Outer space, I think it's just so overhyped because people don't want to deal with what's going on here. We have no idea what's going on in the ocean. Most of it's unexplored. And then outer space, everyone's like, oh, let's go move to Mars and, like, terraform there. And space station, satellites, and I'm like, we have an ocean full of plastic and most of it's unexplored.
Yeah. Dive in, girl.
Dive in. Isn't there, like, I could be completely making this up and this could be so false. There's, like, $7 billion or $1 trillion worth of gold around the ocean floor or something.
I mean, probably. That's...
like, a lot.
The ocean is big.
It's so big. And it's, like, maybe...
if you take anything away from this podcast, the ocean, it's big. And you can quote me on that.
No, you've always said that.
I've always said that.
You have always said that. No, but I think that outer space is just so... because we don't know that much about it.
It's escapism.
Escapism, but it's also like escaping into like nothing. Like, what are you gonna do there?
I read some like celebrity went to space and he had, let me see if I can find it actually. Some like celebrity went, hold on. He wrote, oh, it was William Shatner. He wrote this thing about it that like made me cry. Because he was like, going up to space made me so depressed. Hold on, I'm checking this out on Variety. By the way, Noah Schnapp came out as gay.
Mazel tov.
Okay, here's what he said. He said, you know, stars, light, blah, 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 blah. All that has thrilled me for years. But when I looked in the opposite direction, into space, there was no mystery, no majestic awe to behold. All I saw was death. I saw a cold, dark, black emptiness. It was unlike any blackness you can see or feel on Earth. It was deep, enveloping, all-encompassing. I turned back towards the light of home. I could see the curvature of Earth, the beige of the desert, the white of the clouds, and the blue of the sky. It was life. Nurturing, sustaining life. Mother Earth. Gaia? What does that mean? Is that Bible? And I was leaving her. Everything I had thought...
Greek mythology.
Oh, Greek mythology. Slay. Everything I had thought was wrong. Everything I had expected to see was wrong. He thought it would be like the film Contact when Jodie Foster's character goes to space. That would be me if I went to space. I'm like, why do I not feel like Jodie Foster? Get me down from here. It was among the strongest feelings of grief I've ever encountered. Vicious coldness. My trip to space was supposed to be a celebration. Instead, it felt like a funeral. Isn't that sad? Doesn't that make you never want to go to space?
Well, I never wanted to in the first place. One of my... Do you remember, like, when you were really little, when we'd have, like, these fears that we think about now? It's like, that's insane. But, like, it was the scariest fucking thing to us.
Death.
No. So when I was, like, little and I'd go to museums, I, like, watch something about black holes. And holes are this
scary... Oh, they're horrifying when you're
horrifying.
Young.
Horrifying. So I have never had any interest in space.
Now, girl, I'd visit.
No. I'd much rather go in the ocean, play with, like, some weird octopus thing at the bottom of the floor.
Honey, that's what you do in your bedroom.
I wish there was that much going on there. If only. No, I'm so sorry. The outer space, it's just the... It's space. It's out there. Like, I'm so sorry you hate it here so much. Then go.
Is that all for outer space?
Yes. That's all I got on outer space.
In lemon bars. I'm dead serious. Have I spoken to you about lemon bars before?
No.
I should have. Okay. I mean, such an underrated dessert. People don't talk about lemon bars, not like they used to. Lemon bars are so good. They're tart. They have a little bit. They have that top that's like custardy, and then they have the crust. And it's not like shitty, like a pie crust where you're like, ugh, you could have made a quiche with this and you made pie. It's like a good, like it's sweet. It's like shortbready. Also, I looked up like who introduced it. By the way, not when I was writing these ins and outs. That's not when I looked it up. I looked it up in my own time, out of my own curiosity. Okay, it was first widely published recipe in 1962 by Eleanor Mikkelsen. Shout out to her. That's my girl. That's my queen right there. And I mean, what an accomplishment. I mean, to introduce something like that to the world in general, what an accomplishment. That's bigger than going to space. But also, to do that in the 60s, that was not the decade for food. That was, tea. They were like putting asparagus in Jell-O.
They put everything in Jell-O.
Yeah.
That was it. And honestly,
imagine being the girl.
The Jell-O girl.
You know, you walk through like your town where everyone's making like potato salad Jell-O, and you strut through as the bitch who invented lemon bars.
And then you get into beef with the bitch that puts the lemon bar in the Jell-O.
Yes. Ugh. That sounds kind of good, though.
Okay, so lemon bars in.
Your turn.
I'm gonna do an in too. Delusions
in.
Delusions.
By the way, I said this last year, not to give myself credit, but just to say I agree, and I've been agreeing, and right. I've always said that. Go
right,
on.
But I think that, like, you know, when you see those Christmas movies and they lose the spirit of Christmas, and like Santa's sleigh won't work or something. I think
yes.
We've lost the spirit of delusion.
And or when Jimmy Stewart wanted to kill himself, and he was like, I want to kill myself.
What?
Who was that? That wasn't Jimmy Stewart. What just came out of me?
No idea.
Wait, who? Let me try to find Jimmy Stewart. Why, I want to kill myself. This is just my internal monologue. Okay, I'm sorry, go on. They lose the spirit of Christmas.
I think that, you know, like with Christmas and people losing their spirit for it.
When Zooey Deschanel has to sing.
Exactly. We have lost our spirit of delusion, or at least some sense of it. I think we all like the idea of delusion, being able to live our lives.
But we're not committing to the bit.
But not committing to the bit. Just dipping the toe in versus skinny dipping in the pool of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think people should maybe, I think in for this year is stick to one delusion. But really stick to it. Don't just be delusional about everything. Like, choose your delusions.
I disagree. Okay. I think new delusion every week.
Mm.
Wiping the slate clean 1 week. And I'm not talking about, like, this week I'm believing in myself. No. You have the power to be delusional, an incredible power, and you're going to use it to develop self-esteem. What the fuck is wrong with you, Dr. Phil? I think it's, like, 1 week you convince yourself. Like, when I convinced myself I could pull off bangs. Speaking of Zooey Deschanel, can we discuss the text my father sent me? Because I did get bangs, and I was on the phone with my parents earlier, and I told them I got bangs, and my dad requested a picture. And I sent my father a picture of my bangs, which they're, like, curtainy, like, sort of French girl bangs. And he goes, oh, good. I thought it was going to be Zooey Deschanel bangs, and you can't pull those off.
He said, that doesn't work pour vous.
What does that mean?
That means for you in French.
He is so disrespectful. But the funniest part is the last time I had blunt bangs, I was about 7 years old. So that means that he was looking at me and being like, she is not pulling those off. He was literally like, you in a second grade with that hairstyle?
That fashion faux pas.
That's a faux pas, honey.
You sound just like your dad when you say that.
That literally, if I deepen my voice, that's him. Okay, wait, what were we talking about? Delusions. I had to say that.
New delusion every week.
Oh, new delusion every week. Because I think that's like the spice of life. Is like there are only so many things you can control when it comes to just having excitement in your life. Like you're not always going to attract the most exciting people or the most exciting experiences. What you can do is have some excitement inside your head where you convince yourself that you're like the greatest polka player alive. Or polka, that's not like a sport, like a polka.
What's a polka?
Like a polka band.
Polka.
Like you can really play that polka. And then the next week, it's maybe you think that if you ate enough carrots to turn your skin orange, it would really suit your complexion. Like those types of things. I think that is the spirit of 2023. New tradition every week.
Yeah. No, 100%. I think they both are to each their own, but I don't disagree with you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I have something to say.
You? Something to say? Since when?
Can you even believe? I'm usually so shy and demure. I don't have shit to say. Okay. Out! Ice plunges. Or cold plunges, or whatever they're called. Okay, let's discuss this. Because this is, if you're unfamiliar, good for you, but probably not a lot of people are. It's like this new wellness trend for like men who watch like that Andrew Huberman podcast, the guy with the beard, which interesting. It's for those types of people who are very into sort of biohacking almost, and like this is how you create the most dopamine in your system and get sunlight at these exact hours, which is so freakish first and foremost. And it was bad enough when just tech guys did it. That was bad enough. But it was like, you know what? What are you going to do? I can always date someone in another industry. I don't want to go out to dinner with you anyway. You'd wear shorts. You know what I mean? Now, so many people are into that, and it's distressing. I read an article on the New York Times. The new hot networking spot in Manhattan is a cold plunge.
What?
Yeah, like at a wellness center. I swear to God. Somebody said they conducted a job interview there. Underwater, goosebumps, hard nipples, job interviewing.
I, like, could not imagine having a job interview with hard nipples. Like, that's
I mean, I could. If anyone wants to hire me. That's the only way I can get hired.
Literally. I'm so sorry. Where do people come up with this stuff? Why are you you know what? I'm going to make myself upset trying to rationalize this. So I'm going to leave it at there because I don't want to upset myself.
It's just, the thing about it, it's just so, that whole culture, it's so robotic. It's very much like, oh, I want to optimize this and that about myself. And it's like, you're a person. Like, you're not supposed to be optimized.
Like, there's a difference between taking care of yourself and, like, your body will be working better if you're taking better care of it, but then doing these, like, weird rituals or whatever to make your stomach fat go away or... What is the point of an ice plunge? What does it do?
It's supposed to be dopamine and it's supposed to be immunity, I think.
That doesn't make sense because anytime, like, you get in the shower and you get out and if it's cold outside, it's like, oh, dry your hair, you'll get a cold or something. Like, shouldn't you not be cold and wet? Isn't that how you get a cold?
No.
Oh.
That's how they thought, like, if you watch, like, 40s movies, they're like, no, you'll get a chill and then you'll get the sniffles.
Yeah, is that not how it works?
No, a cold is just called a cold. It is confusing.
They shouldn't
have named it that.
I'm not a woman in STEM. I don't know. Yeah. Okay.
But I will say the end to that out bubble baths.
Oh, bubble baths, so in. I love a bubble bath. Love a bubble bath.
Love a bubble bath.
Love a bubble bath.
Even though I broke my last phone by dropping it into my bubble bath.
See, I don't bring my phone with me in the bath. I don't know if that's crazy of me, but
I was listening to a podcast and I wanted to switch. And so I grabbed my phone and then it slipped. And then I had to go to the Apple store.
You're making the most pathetic face right now.
Because it's a pathetic story. And it's vulnerable. Okay, wait, we have to do an in and out together because we had like almost the same one on our list. Let's say it together. Out. Vaping
is out.
We killed that, honey.
Vaping is out. I'm so sorry. Like, My thing is, when I was vaping, and I was never addicted
to brave. Vaping,
I did it not for the nicotine purpose. It was like candy. And here's my thing is, when vapes first came out, I was saying it, and I did it. I'm a hypocrite. And I'm the first to admit that I am a hypocrite and do stuff that I do not think is cool a bunch. Cigarettes are cool. Vapes are not. So anytime I see somebody with a vape, I'm like, I get it. Like, because if you're addicted, but like, I don't know. It's so childish. They're like for bait. What's that? Mattel cigarettes, you know, or some type of.
There's like a pink cigarette. What? Oh, you're talking about like.
No, not Mattel. Like,
you're making your dolls smoke?
No, I wish.
Oh, work.
No, but kind of like a toy cigarette. Like a fake cigarette. Like,
A candy one?
No.
It's like a training cigarette. Me raising kids.
It's like a sippy cup, kind of. You know? Like, it's. I don't know. It's not cool. And if you're gonna be addicted to nicotine, you might as well be smoking cigarettes.
Also, I feel, because I know vapes were marketed at first as like to quit smoking. I feel like smoking is better for you because you can't do it all day. Like, you have to go outside.
Yes, that is so
true. You have to take a few steps. Even if you have a balcony, you have to take a few steps and open a door to smoke a cigarette.
And some people don't even leave their house, like, because they're inside vaping and there's no reason to leave. That's why they don't leave their house.
It's my new band, Inside Vaping. Also, do you remember when vapes were, like, first a thing? Before they came out as disposable, when people would have, it was a libertarian thing.
Yeah, the big juice.
Yes, they would have a whole setup, and, like, libertarians did it. It was literally, like, don't tread on my vape.
No, but I always said that.
Yeah. You do have a flag that says, don't tread on my vape.
I do have one.
It is confusing whenever I walk in, but I've gotten used to it by now.
Yeah. No, I remember those, and I would hit them, and they never hit me the way that the other vapes.
What does that mean, hit you?
Like, I didn't get the nicotine rush.
What's a nicotine rush?
I am convinced that you do not smoke things properly.
I do.
I am just so convinced.
By the way, I'm not a smoker.
Once a week. One cigarette.
An occasional
cigarette. No, you get a rush in your head where it feels, like, really dizzy.
I think I just have that. Naturally.
I know. But it adds more of that.
Okay. Oh, I don't want that. I went to the doctor because I needed less of it. I didn't experience that. Oh, but yeah, we're saying so, you know.
Cigarettes and
cigars.
Cigars.
That's what I, because you said cigarettes, I said cigars. I was at home smoking cigars with my father. Time of my life. It's so chic. It's so much more, like, there's a real respect for the craft, where there are, like, different types of cigar cuts.
Yeah, it's very Freudian.
I mean, I guess. So is a vape.
Yeah, but at least a cigar, you got something to work with. Like,
picky.
You know, vapes are, like, weird and boxy.
Also, cigar is probably the healthiest option.
Yes.
Because what are you going to do, sit around smoking cigars all day? And you don't even inhale.
I think if you are going to be sitting around smoking cigars all day, it's because you have something important to do at your desk. So you have your cigar with you.
You're like a 60s, like, ad exec. I was watching the famous sitcom That Girl with my mother. I was binge watching it at home as if it was, like, something that just came out. But we were talking, she asked, like, okay, what does the main character's boyfriend do for a living? And I was like, I think he's a journalist, actually. But in that moment, I was like, I don't really know. And she goes, well, back in the 60s, everyone was, like, an ad manager or something. And it made me laugh so hard. Because that's so true. Every like, 60s, like, movie or TV show, it's like, I'm an ad manager.
What does that mean?
Nothing. Well, it's like
saying, like, I'm a VP at Goldman or something?
Yeah, like, or like, I'm at a startup that's disrupting this industry. Like, that's the modern version. It means nothing. I would love to be an ad manager, though, whatever that is.
Add it on your LinkedIn. This is the year of manifesting. Manifest being an ad manager. I believe in you. And I think that's your true career path.
Honey, something's got to be managed. Your turn.
Okay. In the Amish.
In
the Amish. The Amish. The Amish are in. I wish I knew more about them, but I think we do not.
You're just like, I like their vibe.
I like their vibe. I think, like, no technology.
Churning butter.
Churning butter. You know, biblical names. Mm. Bonnets. Modesty. Like.
Bonesty.
Bonesty.
That's, oh my God, if my name was Bonnie, I would write a memoir called Bonesty.
You're so creative.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think the Amish are in. I think that they're, oh, well, when I was little, I used to think Amish people were Hasidic Jews because I thought that they looked the same, so I'd get them confused. My mom, like, had to explain.
Once again, she's Jewish.
Once again, I'm Jewish.
And I'm not saying this.
Yes. Serena's not saying that. No, but just because, like, they have the long hair and the beard with the big hats and their long black stuff. So I was like, okay, maybe, but maybe cousins. I guess not.
Cousins.
I don't know. I was, like, six. But, yeah, I think there's way too much technology. And you can tell it's coming in. All these kids getting their razor phones or whatever.
Yeah. Next stop, Amish Town.
Next stop, wooden phone.
Choo-choo. Out. Meeting on dating apps.
Oh, yes.
No. I've been saying this. But honestly, okay. Because I've been saying this mostly just because I like to complain. So I'm like, ugh, dating apps are over. But I say everything's over. But haven't you noticed, like, 5 years ago, everyone was like, I'm getting married, and I met this guy on Bumble. When's the last time a friend got into a relationship with someone they met on a dating app? Are you staring at my... What are you staring at?
This wire is here.
Oh, yeah.
I know, you wish I was... There's nothing to stare at.
I know, that's what I was confused about. I was like, what's going on there? Because usually the answer is nothing.
Yeah. Dating apps, horrible, especially for us girls predisposed to having horrible taste and being able to choose for ourselves, like, absolutely not.
That's why you hand your phone to me.
Exactly. I think the last couple dates I've been on haven't been with dating app people, but the one who I was seeing before was a dating app. I've never had good experiences from dating apps. I'm definitely... could get murdered on a dating app. I don't think that's impossible for me.
Or in real life. But I've also noticed, and you did one of these recently, I've noticed a lot more, like, singles events and, like...
Yeah. And I went to a singles event, and I met a guy. We went on a date. It was fine. Maybe it was a little bit of a loose woman and kissed him at the end of the date.
You harlot.
I know. I'm such a high... And walk...
Tongue or no?
A little.
You Frenched.
But, like, that
You're
was...
unbelievable.
I know. It's so bad. No, you
won't. Not very Amish of you.
Not very Amish. Hey, I said I was a hypocrite. I made this clear. No, he, like, walked me home, like, you know, kissed goodnight, and then that was it. And I haven't heard from him since. And I'm not that interested in him either, but I needed to get out and go on a date.
Yeah.
And he wasn't horrible to look at, and I met him at, like, some event. I don't like the singles events. My mother just peer pressures me and bribes me.
But I think they're going to be, like, bigger. Because people think, like, up until pretty recently, I think people have thought of, like, singles events as, oh, that's desperate or whatever. But that's what everybody thought of dating apps when they first came out. And if anything, dating apps are more desperate because it's like you're meeting with a stranger on the internet because you want love and affection. That's more desperate. It's a lot less desperate to be like, I'm meeting you in real life and let's see what you're actually like. And I'm not going to go on a date with you based on one picture.
Exactly. No, 100% agree.
Otherwise, I will say my in for that.
Arranged isn't, marriages.
Isn't singles events. I mean, maybe for you, honey, marriages. I'll pick someone for you. Chance encounters.
Yeah.
That's what I think. Serendipity starring, who was that starring? That lady?
Yeah, starring that lady.
Starring that lady. Great movie.
Was it, what's her name? Pretty Woman.
No, it was Kate Beckinsale.
Yes.
Yeah, your turn.
In non-therapeutic ketamine.
In.
I'm so over everybody with their ketamine treatments, whatever. I'm like,
I'm over it because I was denied.
But also anybody who I know who's like, oh, I swear by it, whatever. I'm like, you're still a crazy person. Like, still would not trust you around.
That's how I feel
child.
About antidepressants.
Tea. But no, but more on the sense of like, it's all these young people trying to deal with their mental illness through doing ketamine. I'm like, no, you are just dealing with life and like have had an easy life and don't know what real struggles are. So you're like, I'm going to do. So if you're going to do ketamine, it shouldn't be in a therapeutic sense. It should be for a recreational sense because, you know, I don't know, you're in Bushwick or something.
Sure.
I just don't think it should be like this whole industry of people like, oh, it's so good. It's not like acid where, like, if they're doing more experiments with it, it can, like, help. Like,
Cary Grant did acid therapy. Do you know about Cary Grant's mother?
Enlighten me.
Oh, I would love to. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, you're so excited.
Oh, my God. I talked about this on TikTok Live the other day. Cary Grant, so he did acid therapy when he was older. His wife introduced him to it. He did it like, therapy. But he was fucked up from his childhood because his mother growing up was clinically depressed and she was very like cold and withholding because of it. Like he didn't have a great warm and fuzzy and lovey childhood. So when he was a kid, like, I want to say 7 or something, his father put his mother into a mental institution. And a little while later, his father told Cary she died in that mental institution. When Cary Grant was 31, he finds out, because his father told him right before he died, he finds out his mother was still alive. And still in the same institution, and he got her out.
That's insane.
It's like, imagine being 31 and finding out not only is your mother still alive and you were told she was dead, but she's been in a mental institution for decades.
That's cuckoo bananas.
That's literally cuckoo bananas. I'd do so much acid if I was in that situation.
Okay, your turn.
Okay. In Desperate Housewives.
Okay, so just disclaimer before you go on your Desperate Housewives thing, I have never seen an episode of Desperate Housewives yet. I know so much of it because Serena will give me a word-for-word rundown of the whole series.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here's the thing. Because there are a lot of drama shows out now, and they're all boring. The Crown? Who gives a fuck? Don't point to yourself. You're watching that bullshit?
I've watched it, yeah.
Why?
I love the British royal family. I think they're, like from, like, a David Attenborough type of, like, perspective. I just think it's so interesting. Like, I think it's so entertaining. I don't love what they do.
What's entertaining?
Just their scandals. Like, it's very, like, mindless and funny how these things are so, like, small and become such a big scandal.
But why not, like, watch something where there are big scandals? Let me tell you something. Here's what I tell people to convince them to watch Desperate Housewives. And this is a bit of a spoiler, but it's a spoiler for, like, the first season. And also a million things happen. So, you know, it's not that big. One of the main characters, her son, runs over another main character's mother-in-law. She goes into a coma. Okay? She wakes up from the coma. It's a miracle. She walks right out of it, basically. She, like, pulls an IV from her and just gets right up, puts on her little bunny slippers, gets right up, and then is like, okay, I'm gonna walk down the stairs, falls down the stairs and dies. And that's, like, one of the first episodes. It's an incredible show. It is, like, because all these drama shows now, it's like, I don't know what Bridgerton is, but it's probably like, oh, I want to marry that guy. Oh, does he want to marry me? Who gives a fuck? I want to see people walking out of comas and into the afterlife. That's what I want. It's so theatrical. And it's like, it's basically a soap opera, but it's also like a dark comedy.
Right. Okay. Okay, out. Sweatpants.
Yeah.
So here's my thing. I'm not an athleisure girl. I understand the importance of being snug as a bug in a rug.
Although, you have been going to the gym, but your athleisure is like...
insane.
A piece of spandex stretched across your breasts with like bedazzled... like areolas.
Literally. Listen, whatever you have to do to get yourself to the gym, do it. If you have to wear a hot pink sparkly outfit and your nip nops are showing.
You should
showing,
host The Biggest Loser.
I should host The Biggest Loser. No, but sweatpants. Okay, so here's my thing, and I'm going to try to make it as quick as possible to get this big point that I have across. I think that what we wear is a reflection of how who we are, how we're doing, how we want to be perceived. All
me wearing
of this.
Pants.
You weren't, girl. Yeah,
me I wearing pants. Tell. Doomsday.
Doomsday. I can tell. And I think sweatpants is just such an easy thing to have, like, no identity, just give up. Like, it's lazy. Like, and people are okay with wearing them in public. Listen, I get it. If you're sick and you have to walk to the doctor, like, you're on death's door.
Honey, if you're wearing sweatpants in public, you better have a disease.
Yeah, exactly.
And prove it to me.
Exactly. I hope, like, you are going to be, like, quarantined or something. No. Sweatpants, it's just so lazy. Like, if you want to be at home, like, depressed, watching TV, crying, put on a little silk slip. You know, if you need a fuzzy...
Oh, a Valley of the Dolls nightgown is perfect to wallow around in.
Right. Or, like, get a fuzzy bathrobe. Even if you want loose pants, they have, like, harem pants. There are so many fun loose...
Harem pants is your suggestion. Why not, like, a flared, yoga pant?
You get a flared yoga pant, too. I just think...
I think that's a big upgrade.
I think it is a big upgrade. I think, you know, if you can... I don't know. I'm just not a big fan of pants. But yeah, just sweatpants in general. I think it's the lowest of low. And we as a society could do a little bit better.
I think a lot of people can pull it off.
Yeah.
I think you're speaking to, like, the general public. But, like, when it comes to people who have a sense of style, like, all bets are off.
No, 100%. I think I'm not saying sweatpants can't be styled and can't, you know, if you have like a Rihanna in high heels with like the big diamonds and sweatpants, that's camp. I love it. And there's definitely people who look good in it. I don't think people look good in them. I just think that it's like, give me a little effort, like just a little will to live. That tiny, a crumble, like just a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I actually have a pants one. Ow! Mom jeans.
I agree.
Here's the thing. Okay, I like the high-waisted. I like the not skinny jean. I don't love a completely straight leg. I think go flare, go boot cut, go bell-bottom.
I don't mind like a trouser.
Or like a cigarette pant.
Or a cigarette pant. But when it comes to, like, mom jeans, it's not flattering for anybody. And it's, you know that trend right now of gorgeous girls wearing not gorgeous stuff and trying to be, like, less gorgeous to just show how gorgeous they are?
Yeah, it's like when, like, male celebrities are, like, too hot for too long, so then they grow long hair and a beard.
Yeah, and, like, don't shower for, like, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
Hmm. Your turn.
In zebra print. I feel it. I feel zebra print on the horizon.
Is this... You don't have any proof to back this up?
I bet if I...
Not to, like, ask for sources.
Right. But. I bet if I look and stuff... I can promise you it's all going to be coming out next season. Like, in 6 weeks.
It's all
going to
be coming out like it's a scandal.
Yeah. The zebra print gate in, like, 6 weeks. We're going to be seeing more of it. I don't know. I have a gut feeling, and usually I'm right.
What do you think is the reason?
I think that we've been doing leopard print for a while, and we still want to have a fun, sexy animal print. But, like, we need a palate cleanse, you know?
But I think, because I kind of agree with this, now that you mention it, I did not think about zebra print, like, since maybe the recession. But I think we're going to... I think while we sort of regress as a society, like a lot of us as girls, used to do a lot of zebra print when we were younger.
Oh, all the time.
Like, half of us had pink zebra print bedding.
I still have pink zebra print bedding.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, it's like pink zebra print and pink leopard print and stripes. It's kind of like maximalist bedding. But yes, there is pink zebra print there.
Hmm.
I don't know. It's like comforting to me. I think like hot pink is my emotional security like color.
Oh, we'll get to that in a second. This is going to be a nice, juicy episode. Okay. Out. Sneakers. And you know what? I do wear sneakers sometimes, and that's a pretty new development. I used to, as pre-COVID, heels every day.
Correct.
Every day. Even in high school, heels every day. 6-inch heels to goddamn AP English class. And I think sneakers are totally fine. Like, I'm not actually anti-sneakers, but I think we've gotten to a point where we're acting like they have to go with every single outfit.
I have one pair of sneakers that I use for the gym, but, like, you will never see me in them. I also live in high heels. I've been in heels since, you know, childhood as well. I need a heel. I don't identify with, like, my height, so, you know, I don't feel correct in sneakers.
Yeah. Because I sort of lost my ability to, like, walk in 4 to 5 inch heels every single day over the pandemic. So now I'm sort of relying more on like a block heel with a platform. But I'm also, I love a ballet flat. And I know recently everyone was like, they're back. And I, like, they're ballet flats. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
It's like saying the white t-shirt is back.
You're like, jeans? They're back.
Jeans are back, honey. But also, I would read articles about that and then people would be like, ugh, ballet flats are back. Who the hell has what's wrong with you if you're anti-ballet flat? That's like the most harmless thing.
That was my thing, is I love how a ballet flat looks.
Yeah.
But I used to get the worst blisters from them.
Oh, you have to buy like...
Like, and here's my thing. I didn't really think that they would hurt me because I did ballet and I had ballet shoes. Completely different thing. Completely different.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that didn't last long. I am a platform heel girl. Like, I need my, these are my, I'm in my cowboy boots right now. It's like an inch and a half, but that's my flat shoe. Like, that's my walking shoe. If I need to walk 6 miles, I do that. But, no, I need a heel.
Yeah, I like a ballet flat because it feels like almost the little black dress of shoes. Like a black ballet flat. Because you can... You can, like, walk all around town in it, run errands.
Wear it with leggings, wear it with a dress.
Yeah.
Dress it up, dress it down, yeah.
Dress it up, dress it down.
Exactly.
What's the house matter down with a ballet flat?
What's the deal with
Hayden? What's the deal with ballet flats? Your turn.
Okay.
And I know what's coming.
In Barbiecore.
In.
So I know what you guys all must be thinking. It happened.
This is what I said. Can I say right away? She said Barbiecore is going to be in. I said, is this 5 years ago? Or when was that? More than 5 years ago, maybe.
Well,
is this 5 years ago? That's what I...
It was like 2 years ago.
It was not 2 years ago.
Well, maybe 5 years ago, too. There's resurgences. But here, let me...
When did the Moschino collection happen?
I know the Balmain one happened, like, last year.
Hold on.
But, you know, we'll have, I think Balmain did it, and, you know, there's probably a bunch of other people who did it who I can't think of at the moment. But besides Barbie, we have that influence of the hot pink that we saw, like, last 2 seasons ago, with Valentino's all hot pink. And all of this is in preparation for the Barbie movie. These past couple years...
Oh, I forgot about the Barbie movie.
It's all in preparation for the Barbie movie, which is going to come out, and then everyone and all these little girls...
Oh my god, Moschino, Barbie 2015. That was almost 10 years ago.
Yeah. But if you look, Balmain just did it, and somebody else just did it. There was a couple Barbie collabs recently, but it's going to be going full girly, and I think because of that, we'll get goth stuff too. And goths always come when there's a recession. Any time a recession... No, name one time there was a recession where goths weren't. 2008?
That's a great observation. Wait.
2008? That's when the
Was there a crash in the 90s?
Yeah.
Oh, 89, I guess. And early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
The goths...
It's like the Hemlink theory.
Exactly. The goths will always predict a recession.
I'm the goth bitch in the Great Depression.
Uh-huh.
Putting charcoal on my eyes because I can't afford eyeliner.
Literally you right now. Asking to go into my arts and crafts stuff to find some, like, vine charcoal.
Yeah. Okay. I'm curious to see how this is. I feel like we've been doing Barbiecore for 15 years. I truly think I'm over. I think the Y2K thing was an excuse for Gen Z to pretend as if, like, fuzzy two-piece mini sets were Y2K, which they were not, by the way.
No, they weren't.
You know what's Y2K? A tube top that goes down to your hips, below your hips. A tube top that could be a dress, but you're wearing it untucked over bootcut jeans. That's the early 2000s.
Yes, 100%. I'm not seeing anybody in mini dresses and jeans. So don't say you're doing Y2K.
You know, did you see that picture of Katie Holmes recently? Let me show you.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
So, by the way, look it up. Got Katie Holmes, 2000s. That'll probably just be her in the 2000s. Whatever. You get what I'm saying. It was a recent outfit, and it was the most authentic Y2K resurgence I've ever seen.
Yeah, no, these people are just romanticizing what they thought Y2K... These children, not people, these children are romanticizing what Y2K was. And as somebody who grew up then...
As someone who grew up then?
Yeah, I grew up in Y2K.
How old were you in 2000?
Two. So I was growing up.
I guess so.
Yeah.
You were toddling.
I was toddling.
Okay, I'm betting against Barbiecore. 1,000%, that's my truth, but we'll have to see.
We will see.
I honestly think the Barbie movie will make everyone nauseous, sick of it.
I'm so excited.
I'm also excited.
I'm so excited.
No idea what it's about. The trailer showed nothing.
The trailer showed everything. I don't know what you're talking about. You have to look for the symbolism in it.
What's the symbolism?
I'm not there yet.
You're figuring it out.
I'm figuring
okay.
it out.
Okay. In eavesdropping. And here's the thing, because I was thinking about, like, okay, what do I want to be out? And I was like, oh, I don't like... I was like, because I have personal experience. I don't like people filming strangers in public. When I was filmed on my way to talk to my dead aunt, I was on a walk on my way to St. Patrick's to talk to my dead aunt. She did not talk to me. And someone put me in a "What New Yorkers Are Wearing Today" TikTok. And it was horrifying, both my outfit and the experience. So, you know, clearly I'm anti that. But I was also like, why would we film people in public when we have this incredible tool at our disposal? We can eavesdrop.
We have ears.
We have ears. It's free. And eavesdropping is so much more interesting because it's like you're sort of investigating, like you're discovering something.
I love going out with you and we'll like see like couples on a date, or we eavesdrop when we go out.
We eavesdrop so hard.
We eavesdrop so hard. Like the first date couple, there was one somebody was talking about like, They're talking about like their childhood trauma or something on a first date.
Was that the show we just watched? Mama June? Okay.
No. But I think eavesdropping is definitely in. People need to stop taking videos so they can eavesdrop later. Be in the moment. Be present.
Ooh. And, like, you can take notes. You could fully tweet out an entire interaction between strangers, and it's so much more ethical than posting a single photo, because only they know it's them. You know what I eavesdroped the other day?
What did you eavesdroped?
Okay. I was in this, like, I don't even want to describe, like, the establishment I was at, because it's so confusing, but I was in an establishment, and I was seated next to a group of people. And there was a guy next to them, like, at a separate table. He had, like, a full toolbox out. He was doing something crazy. Bless you. He was doing Lord knows what. And then this security guard came up to him and was basically like, you have to leave. You look like you're building a bomb. And he kind of did, but he didn't look like the type of person who would build a bomb.
What does a person who would build a bomb look like? A nerd.
But he, here's the difference. He looked like a geek. And we, you all know what I'm talking about. If you have, like, black framed glasses, you're not building a bomb. Wire framed? Maybe.
Wire framed?
I'm a bit suspicious.
Yeah.
Black plastic frame glasses? You're building figurines. Who are we kidding? And he went up to the group of people and was like, oh, this security guard, he's doing this and that and this and that. And he got kicked out. But even more salacious than a potential bomb. Okay, at one point, there were two guys at the table. One of them got pizza and sat down. And then the other one left to go, like, I don't know where, for maybe he was, like, out smoking for, like, 5-10 minutes. He comes back. The guy had finished his pizza. And he goes, oh, you finished your pizza? You must have been hungry.
What?
That's criminal. To say that to someone you consider a friend. It's betrayal enough when a waiter says that to you. But to hear a friend.
You've said worse to me. You're like, I never have. What are you talking
about? I've never said a thing.
You've never said a word once in your life?
I've never said a word once in my life.
Fully nonverbal goo goo gaga.
Goo goo gaga. You know what my first word was?
What?
Daddy.
I don't know what I said. Mine was taxi.
I thought you were going to say taxes. I was like, Jesus Christ.
No.
Taxi is everything.
Yeah, taxi.
That's New York, baby.
Yeah.
Okay, your turn. We're on our last two.
Okay, last.
This is a long, juicy episode.
Yeah.
In.
Being a silly goose.
Someone finally said it.
So here's my thing. We need the silly girls out. Like, the girls have not been being silly. I am a silly goose. I am a proud silly goose. And I think...
And yet when I throw bread at you, you get mad. Riddle me that.
Yeah, because I'm a serious goose when you're throwing bread at me. Yeah.
Okay.
But I think that people aren't silly anymore. Like, we need to be silly.
You know why? Because everybody's so... They want to, like, craft well-crafted...
What?
They want to, like, meticulously craft... The great American joke. And it's like, no. Say some bullshit.
Yeah, just say, just make a noise.
Be
just be like,
silly.
Yeah, just be like, you know.
Like, because people are so afraid of being cringe. So they're like, oh, I have to put together this, like, meta
that
joke.
That is cringe.
And it's like, make a noise.
Yeah, like
make
cry.
Make a silly face.
Cry. Like, just cry.
I like to do,
oh, yeah, that
where you do, like, the goggles.
Yeah, with your hands
with
upside down.
With your hands upside down. If you see, like, a hot guy in public and you want to flirt, just do, like, the upside down hand goggles. And he'll be like,
it works every time.
Where are you from?
That's what Serena met her first husband.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think that we need to normalize being silly more and, you know... People are just taking things too seriously. Just be silly. Like, tee-hee.
And I think it's important to distinguish being silly from being funny. Because being funny, it's like, you have to, there's a strategy to it.
You can be funny
being
and serious.
Being silly is,
free game.
Love of the game.
Yeah, it's just, you just go for it, you just, you're silly, it just comes out, and you're just a silly goose.
A backpack fell over.
You know, just a silly goose. What sound does a geese make? Like, is that like...
Yeah.
Yeah,
like, are they like... Don't they hiss?
Oh my god, my goose game. It's everything. I make all the male goose go... Wah! I don't know.
How do you plan to incorporate silly goose-dom into your life in 2023?
I feel like I'm always on my silly goosery.
You are.
I'm always on my silly goosery. If I'm not, that's when you worry.
I know. Oh, when I get silly and you get mad at me, I'm like, uh-oh. I'm being prosecuted.
Literally.
For a crime I did commit. I'm guilty of being silly. Boom.
Arrest me, I'm silly.
Lock me up, I'm being a silly goose.
Literally. Yeah, so I think I don't take things seriously. Like, if I have to, I will. But generally, I try not to. And I try to make a joke out of everything because everything is horrible. So, you know, anytime something's really bad, just try to be silly about it. I don't know.
You know what you should do is, like, maybe if your parents just told you that they're getting a divorce.
They did.
I said just. Oh. Not 35 years ago. Maybe, like, stick your tongue out at them.
Make a raspberry.
Yeah. Oh, you're getting divorced? Oh, it's my fault? Oh, I have to live with dad now because mom doesn't like me? And do it on your dad's tummy. Like he's a baby. Dad loves that.
No.
By the way, Tess is trying to say bravo, bravo, bravo to get me to stop. Because that's what we established was our knock it off before this.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't want to talk about daddy tongues and divorce raspberries.
Well, I do, so honey, deal with it.
Okay, well, I think everybody should be a silly goose. And even when people want you to be a serious goose, just stick your tongue out at them. And
yes. Okay, last one. This is okay, so fucking long. Okay, last one. And it's an in. I'm being positive. I'm a little inny. In dating specifically lawyers and doctors.
No.
Not, can I distinguish, because there have been experiences lately, not doctors in residence.
No, you've just been watching Fleischman's in Trouble.
I have been watching Fleischman's in Trouble. By the way, guys, I started watching originally to see Jesse Eisenberg's bare butt cheeks, and I did, but then I got hooked. But I don't know if I would recommend it, honestly. It depends, I guess, like, whether or not you want to see Jesse Eisenberg's bare butt cheeks should be the deciding factor. No, I think I'm a big fan of, like, when it comes to choosing a partner, your mother was right. Why are you dating that guy with a full sleeve, you know? Date a nice accountant. I believe that. And, okay, disclaimer. First of all, some, like, teenagers messaged me that they listen to this podcast, so I'm not talking to you. Do not date, like, a 30-year-old. But, you know, if you're old enough to be dating men who are in a profession, then go ahead. I will disclaim, a lot of doctors are strange.
I think there's very few, specialty doctors that are probably fine. Like, I feel like a dermatologist is fine.
Yeah.
That, like, they're just gonna be boring and into skin. So it's like, yeah, there's not gonna be too much issues there. But then you have, like, let's say, like, something like an anesthesiologist, where your whole...
My grandfather is an anesthesiologist.
And how did that work out for him?
Now we're bringing up my grandfather's Lewy body dementia.
No, but, like, literally your whole job is just sitting and making sure people stay. Like, you're not gonna have the same stress as, like, a brain surgeon. Like, that's not gonna be something you have to be smart to do.
Also, a doctor in residence? Horrible.
Horrible. No.
It's the worst. And even if you meet a nice one, it's not gonna work out.
He's lying.
Or, because I've met nice ones, but it would never work out. You have to meet them either before or after they're in residency.
Yeah. No.
And also, a lot of, you know, that's the disclaimer on doctors, lawyers, many of them are evil. I went out with a guy.
You like evil men.
A little bit evil. Just a tad bit, you know.
You like evil in a tax fraud way, not in a shitty to women way.
Yeah, like defraud the IRS, but don't, like, be a supervillain corporate lawyer. That's what I think.
Right.
Sometimes tax evasion can be subversive. You know what I mean? I went out with a guy once. We were on a first date, and I knew he was a lawyer, and I was like, okay, what type of law do you do? He goes, I represent airlines when passengers die in a plane crash. So obviously I was like, okay, why would he tell me that? And I go, you don't feel bad about yourself? I feel like that's not a great thing to do. And I swear to God, he goes, no one's ever said that before. I like you. You're different. Bitch, different from what? Who are the people enabling this job? Because, so, you know, all of his friends must be like...
Some blonde bimbo's like, oh my God, you're a lawyer?
You.
Yeah, literally.
No, literally, you me. Know, all of his friends are like, well, she should have tightened her seatbelt. Like, that is the craziest job to have. And also, like...
Well, it is the victim's fault. You know?
It is.
When the plane crashes, it's not because of the
should have been paying attention to that riveting safety presentation.
Literally.
I mean, how could you not? It's fascinating.
Yeah.
They always put on such a show. I love the line kicks they do. But that is just, I mean, what a world of delusion he must have been living in, and not in the good in way, for him to think like, oh, let me tell a girl I'm on a first date with this piece of information about myself.
You know what? I'm going to tell the listeners, stay away from doctors and lawyers. If they're, like, a lawyer for something boring, like literary stuff and, like, copyright.
That's what I like.
That's fun. But if it, like, has to do with people, you know, like, suing people or...
No, that can be good. No, if it has to do with corporations.
Right, yeah. But, like, just, like, individual, like, small, like, just one-on-one, like, just someone suing somebody, this is my lawyer. I don't know.
Judge Judy?
I love Judge Judy. I love Judge
Would you date her?
Yeah. 100%.
See?
100%.
Did you see?
A judge. That's
did
different.
You see?
Judges?
Okay. But did you see the ad for her new show where it's a preview where this guy goes, this guy was like, yeah, I defrauded her. She was going to send me to jail. And Judge Judy goes, yeah, for fraud. It's like the best one-liner.
I love her. She's such a queen.
But you know what? Those are our warnings about dating lawyers and doctors. But I will say, it's in. It's classic. Or, you know what? An ad manager.
Yes. Bring back ad manager. Date an ad manager.
I would love to. Anything else you want to end on, 2023? New me?
I think it will be a new me, but I think I'm always a new person, so that's a test thing.
Let's hope so.
Let's hope so. Maybe I'll, like, find a decent human being to date this year.
I hope so. I really do.
I do, too. That's what I'm gonna end on.
All right. Well... Oh, what's your, like, follow at Tess Bernstein Official.
Yes,
she does fashion design.
Yes.
So, and as far as me, Glam Demon 2004, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. You follow the podcast Instagram, at Let Me Ruin Your Life Pod, DM for questions, requests, confessions.
Bye!
That was a stunning harmony.